Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our study through the book of 1 Corinthians as we continue through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
And unto the Jew I became as a Jew, even though he was a Jew, he a couple of some of their ceremonies we see he participated in, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, that's the Jewish people, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. I'm going to relate to these Jewish people to the best of my ability without violating Scripture. Amen, preacher. Now he turns it to the Gentiles when he says in verse number 21, to them that are without the law. Now these are those who are not under the law. You know that the law of Moses was given to the Jews. It was not given to the Gentiles. Matter of fact, we see in Romans chapter 1, there's a law unto themselves. That's a whole other point to the Gentiles. Okay, well, good. That's a whole other study. To them that are without law is without law. And then in parentheses, not being without law to God, but under the law to Christ. In other words, he's not going to do anything that would violate the laws of Christ. Anything that violates Scripture, he's not going to do that. Okay? Then he says that I may gain them that are without law. Same principle applies to the Gentiles that he did to the Jews. Paul, while among the Gentiles, conformed to their social customs and traditions so long as it did not break the law of Christ. Again, he wasn't compromising. He wasn't one thing over here, another thing over here. No, he adapted their social custom. I'm going to give you a perfect example of that in just a minute, okay? Verse number 22. And to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. What did Paul mean by that, real quick, before we go any farther? He didn't walk around them like some snooty Christian. To the weak I became as weak, okay? He didn't go in there, boy, ain't I something, okay? He could relate to whoever, the Jew, Gentile, a weak believer or a strong believer, whoever he was around, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, whatever that goes, whoever you were around, you could relate. Beggar, pauper, rich man, poor man, beggar, man, thief, doctor, lawyer, that's how it goes. Whoever you're around, you could relate to them. Amen, preacher. That's what he is saying. I'm just can relate to this group. I can't go to this class of people because, well, it's not what Paul did. We redress this. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. He could relate to them. I am made all things to all men. Notice he said all men, not just a certain group. I just said it. Rich man, poor man, but where'd that come from? I learned that as a kid. Rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. Where did that come from? It was a grocery rhyme. Okay. All right, y'all as old as me then. Okay, that's what, whoever it is, I became to all men that I might by all means save some. So I started our lesson this morning. That was Paul's method. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what side of the tracks you may be from, Paul would relate to you when he would talk to you about Jesus Christ, because that was the most important thing, is to win them to Christ, no matter what the situation may be, okay? Paul did not change, and this is important, Paul did not change his doctrine. He did not change his message to appeal to the different groups. He would change his behavior and his manner of approach to that group, that he could relate to them. Paul unselfishly conformed every way that he could to others and to their customs, as long as it did not violate biblical principle. He did so that thou might receive his preaching. They might hear, listen to what he had to say about Christ and his message. He wanted to make sure that his person, his mannerisms, his feelings, and his actions did not hinder anybody from coming to Christ. Now, let me give you a personal example of this. Years ago, when I was a missionary in Kenya, Africa, there were over 70 different tribes in Kenya. In other words, the main language in Kenya is Kiswahili. Many of them learn English, but there's also over 70 different tribes, and they all know their tribal language. We worked with what was called the Luhya people. Matter of fact, we were on the cruise, and there were a couple of Kenyans who were the stewards on the cruise ship, and I saw they said from Kenya. And they were shocked when this white guy started speaking Swahili to them. I said, Habari, and they said, whoa. And they said, what'd you say in English? because they're used to English. I said, Habari in Lugan. I said, ah, Habari. You know, and then we started talking English. And then I spoke in Luya, Malembe, Malembe Voss, and it blowed them away. Because I didn't know just a little bit of Swahili. I knew a little bit of Luya, which that's about, you don't be impressed, that's about all I remember now, you know. But the point is, they have their own language. They have their own culture inside Kenya. They have their own traditions, their own culture, their own people groups, even though they assimilate one pretty well. By the way, that you ever heard the term mother tongue? When a child is born and the mother says she's from the Luya tribe and the mother's from the Luya tribe and the daddy's from a Luo tribe or Kikuyu or whatever other tribe it may be, guess what language the mother teaches the baby? Her language. The Luya language, the mother tongue. And then as a little baby, he learns her language. And then he grows up and learns the Swahili and maybe daddy's language, whoever. That's why it's called mother tongue, by the way, because the mother teaches him. Anyway, we go up to Turkana where, have you been there? You haven't been. We went. What a great trip that was, Florence. What year was that? Changed Florence's life. That's a whole another story. Went to Turkana. Okay, I had the privilege in 1990, was that 2000? Because I left in 99. Yeah, it was. I started the church, it's called Lodwar Landmark Baptist Church, in 1999. We baptized 36. Y'all have heard that story. Remember me baptizing, we went hut-to-hut visitation all week long, and that Sunday, we baptized 36. The first guy we baptized was a blind man. He was the MZ. He was the leader of that group of people. And by the way, if you win the leader to the Lord, you kind of bring the rest of them along with them. You know, anyway, he was a blind man. And the very last report, because I came home from, long story short, you know, y'all wanted me to come back to the church, so I've been here for 20 years or whatever longer now. Anyway, he was a blind man. And I left that Sunday. The following Sunday, you're going, John Wignoni is the pastor in South Sudan now. He was the pastor that I left there in Lodwar. You can tell him the story because it's so true. You'll see him in 9 days, okay? John was a dear friend. I put him in Lodwar. He was there for 6 months. I mean, he was longer than that, but I'm running. I got to finish this story, okay? But you're going to see John. We baptized 36. First one was blind. And then John told me the next Sunday he came and he's blind. And literally he's going, here's what he said. Which way to the church? Which way to the church? He didn't know. People had to take him to the church. And here we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Here he's a blind man. He's going to go to church that next Sunday. Anyway, we baptized 36. He was the first one we baptized. Okay, hold on to your britches. There, and Florence was there. The young ladies there, they walk around without tops on. You've seen in that, you know what I'm talking about. They're called congas. They wrap around here, but most of them up here, they don't wear any. It's how they are. We're in the desert. They're in the desert, okay? They got saved. They come for baptism. Here's these girls. There were two of them. They had those big old, remember them neck, that big old. I bought some of them for my wife. She wouldn't wear them. True story. I bought them from one of them late. I thought they were about that thick. Because, you know, the neck. And I thought I was such a wonderful gift. An original thing from Turkana, and she wouldn't put them on. But anyway, I don't even know where they are today. But anyway, these two girls came. They were probably 18, 19, 20 years old. I'm not sure. They didn't have a top on. There's hundreds of people watching me baptize. Because nobody's seen a baptism. We're in the desert somewhere. You know the story about digging, trying to get water. What do I do? They come to me. They don't have a top on. They have a little conga. What do I do? Where do I put my hands? You get the picture. It's kind of, I baptize them, okay? Now don't kick me out of the church. The next Sunday, I leave. We leave, and John Wignoni could tell you, the next Sunday, they came back to church, and I was told they had their top on. I didn't tell them nothing. Ain't amazing how God works in somebody's life without me saying a word. Hey, you can't do that. God bless you. Let God do the work. I see that kind of what Paul was doing here. He wasn't trying to change anything. Let God change the people.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly is our prayer.